And joining us on the book club today is Samuel K. Dolan. Samuel is the author of Hell Paso, Life and Death in the Old West's Most Dangerous Town. Let me tell you a little bit about Sam. He's a documentary writer, director, and Emmy Award-winning television producer. He grew up in northern Arizona. He got his start in film and television at age 13, riding horses in feature films and TV shows, including 1993's Tombstone. Since 2004, he has produced dozens of programs for the History Channel, Military Channel, American Heroes Channel, and National Geographic. He's also appeared as an on-camera expert in numerous segments for the History Channel and other cable networks. His first nonfiction book, Cowboys and Gangsters, which is an excellent book, Stories of an Untamed Southwest, was published by Two Dot in 2016 and was listed as one of True West Magazine's annual Best of the West. The book chronicles violence in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas during the Prohibition era. Dolan currently lives in Missoula, Montana, with his wife and son. Again, the name of the book that we're going to be highlighting today, Life and Death in the Old West's Most Dangerous Town, Hell Paso. Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really pleased to join you today.
And for our audience, I know I said Samuel K. Dolan, but I got your permission to call you Sam, so we'll call you Sam from now on until...
Well, you know, that's what my friends call me.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be called your friend. Tell us, first of all, a little bit about, as I mentioned in that interview, the intro there, that you got your first start at the age of 13. But in reading a little bit more about you, you got your interest in the Old West and El Paso because of your dad and a book that he gave you.
Yes. When I was in high school, my father bought a copy of Dr. Marone's biography of John Wesley Arden. And I think I was a sophomore, and I pilfered that. I stole the book from him. And I already had a love of the history of the American West, and both in film and in reality. And I just sort of gobbled up that biography of Arden. And the part of it that I found the most interesting was the sort of last, you know, chapter of Arden's life spent there in El Paso, Texas. And I was fascinated by not just Arden's experience there, but the fact that Arden was sort of in this town at a time where there were numerous dangerous characters, much like Arden, and very well-known lawmen. And it was sort of a gathering place, so to speak, for gunfighters, professional lawmen, fugitives, and a very interesting and colorful cast of people. So I suppose that, you know, 26 or so years ago, my love of El Paso history, or at least this sordid aspect of it, began with Dr. Richard Marone's book, The Last Gunfighter.
Now, a lot of people know El Paso in part due to, well, Arden, as you mentioned, Selman, but also because of Marty Robbins' famous hit, El Paso. And sometimes, though, that can kind of stereotype a city. And a lot of people, including some of our students who first came here, said, well, you know what? I expected to see cowboys, horses, dusty roads, all that.
Well, that's a good point. You know, a point I try to make in the introduction to this book is that this is just a small part of the story of El Paso, Texas. El Paso has this wonderful and colorful history, a sometimes complicated history. It's many centuries long at this point. This is a modern city at this stage of the game. So it doesn't look like an old West town, like a place like Tombstone or even Bisbee, Arizona might look. So people going to El Paso now looking for the Old West would, you know, they probably have a hard time finding it, both in the sort of material world, but also among the people there. It's just a different kind of community. And that's the point I try to sort of make throughout the book. This is really just a small snippet of that very big story that is El Paso.
What I want to share with our listeners is the fact, well, right at the beginning of the book, I think it's chapter one. I'm turning to that right now. Yes, it's the Arizona Sentinel. In view of the shooting and general devil raising going on in El Paso, the name should be changed to Hell Paso. And that was the Arizona Sentinel, October of 1877.
Yeah, that's correct. And of course, that was published right as the Salt War, of course, was really ramping up. And there was a lot happening in that corner of Texas, the fall of 1877. And other people at that time, pioneers, so to speak, there, years later, kind of viewed that El Paso was kind of a good name for the cities, in a sense, during that period of the late 1870s and early 1880s, when there was a considerable amount of lawlessness and a real struggle to kind of create a law enforcement agency, a police department that could, you know, protect the city as it was, you know, growing up.
It's interesting that when you read the book, and the name of the book again is El Paso by Samuel K. Dolan, it talks, as I just mentioned, Arizona Sentinel, but there are also quotes and stories from other newspapers, big newspapers like the Boston Globe, and even they are familiar with what's going on in El Paso.
Oh, yes. What happened in El Paso County during the Salt War was big news throughout the country, and newspapers in California and New York and Massachusetts and elsewhere, they were reporting on what was at the time in certain corners of the country viewed as this sort of insurrection that could threaten national security on our international boundary with Mexico, and it was a pretty big deal. As far as El Paso City and county, of course, there were public safety, if you will, consequences of the Salt War that extended into the 1880s and beyond. It really colored conflicts there locally between law enforcement and a largely Hispanic population, even as the dynamics there changed with the coming of the railroads and the influx of many Anglo arrivals in the city. There was a tension, in a sense, that lingered for quite a while and had a big influence on things that would happen in 1881 with Dallas Studenmeier and even beyond that.
Perhaps we should go back a little bit, because you and I have been talking about the Salt Wars, and some of our listeners may not be familiar with the Salt War. So if you can kind of bring us up to speed on that, Sam.
Certainly. I don't consider myself a Salt War expert, but I can summarize it by saying this, that for many generations, people in that area on both sides of the Rio Grande made use of and had access to salt deposits that were about 100 miles away from El Paso itself. And, they had done this sort of generationally. And along about the 1870s, you've got outsiders, in terms of the views of these people that have lived there for so long, who are now laying claim to those salt deposits and the land around it, and trying to tax or charge people to access that salt. And of course, this precipitates a really violent struggle. It ends up being a very violent struggle, much of which plays out there in San Elizario and elsewhere, and quite a bit of bloodshed. There is a multi-day battle in San Elizario that results in, you know, several deaths and executions, as well as this sort of noteworthy surrender, if you will, of a detachment of Texas Rangers, which is, of course, kind of a dark chapter in the story of the Texas Rangers. And that does set the stage for things that will happen, you know, just a couple of years later when the city reincorporates and the railroads are closing in from the west, and you have a sort of a lingering tension between some of these Anglo ranchers and arrivals in the area and merchants and, native families, if you will, people that have lived there for many generations that have long, you know, deep roots in the El Paso area. The El Paso Salt War is a major incident in the history of the American West. It's not well known outside of the Southwest, although it really should be.
We are visiting with author, historian, documentary filmmaker Samuel K. Dolan. His latest book is El Paso. Now, the Salt Wars, as you just mentioned, brought in a lot of factions, and the Texas Rangers, and as you mentioned, a dark chapter. Last year, we interviewed Doug Swanson, who wrote Cult of Glory about the Texas Rangers. And in this situation that happened in San Elizario, it started another division there. At least that's what I understood from your book, and perhaps there was also a little bit of discrimination, people who were on the side of the Mexican people, the Mexican-American people, and then there's also the other people who said, no, we don't want you around here. And Dallas Studemeyer, when he's walking through El Paso that first time, and he says, what are these greasers doing here?
Yeah, no, it's really important to remember those tensions. You know, one of the worst sort of moments in the Salt War was the sort of retribution that followed the incidents in San Elizario, where rangers and volunteers from New Mexico Territory committed a number of atrocities. You know, Mr. Swanson covers some of those things in his book. I get into a certain amount of detail there, and he's not wrong in characterizing that as a very bad period of time, just in that in the history of that part of Texas, but also a dark chapter in the long story of the rangers. And yes, you're right. These attitudes continued. Dallas Studemeyer, there's a number of ways of looking at him. You know, he is not the first marshal in El Paso after the city reincorporates. He's like the fourth or fifth. I mean, they strike out a number of times, and at first, Studemeyer looks like sort of the savior. He comes down from Socorro. They appoint him city marshal, and he's going to clean up the town. And yet he shares a lot of the same animosities, even bigotry, that some of the other people there do. And, you know, the incident that sets the stage for the so-called 4 dead in 5 seconds gunfight is a very racially charged incident. It's the murder of two Mexican cowboys that came across the river in search of, you know, rustled cattle, and they're killed by area ranchmen. And, of course, that brings a big group of people from across the river looking for them and retrieving their bodies. An inquest is held there in El Paso. It's a very charged moment, and it sets the stage for this, you know, very brief but dramatic gunfight between Studemeyer and actually other Anglo gunmen. But it has its sort of roots in this ongoing sort of animosity, struggle, conflict between both Anglo and Mexican neighbors there in El Paso. And that's a really important aspect of it to remember. It's really easy to kind of go and look at these incidents in sort of the Hollywood fashion, the kind of classic struggles, good versus evil, and, you know, Dallas Studemeyer, you know, lawman against the outlaws. But there are other issues at stake here, and some of it's race and politics and economics.
In that same chapter where we're talking about the 4 dead in 5 seconds, and Dallas Studemeyer is involved in that, we also see where, you know, those of us who grew up watching Westerns, there was always somebody who was against the marshal, somebody was for the marshal, and then other people who kind of depended on which way was playing the situation. They were kind of on the fence. But in this book, and you stated very well, the fact that not everybody was a fan of Marshall Studemeyer.
No, in fact, he had some pretty big detractors in later years, and it actually included some of his contemporaries, W.W. Mills. He and his brother Anson are sort of old-time, you know, Anglo pioneers who had come to El Paso in the 1850s. Mills had very little of anything good to say about Studemeyer. George Look, another pioneer well-known to people who know about El Paso history, he was sort of on the fence about Studemeyer. You know, it's been typical of documentaries and certain other books to look at Studemeyer as, you know, he's this tough gunfighter and a sort of a stabilizing influence. But actually, a lot of his contemporaries thought he was quite volatile. He was a hard-drinking fellow, and he got into a certain amount of trouble, and it set the stage. He had to eventually leave office. He was replaced, asked to resign, and, you know, picked up a commission as a deputy United States Marshal, and then died in a gunfight there in El Paso in 1882. So he had a very brief but very volatile experience as a lawman in El Paso, and was not at all a stabilizing influence.
The adage that we hear is saying, live and die by the sword. In this case, in the Old West, live and die by the gun.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I would say that probably the first really great lawman as far as a city marshal or a chief of police is concerned in El Paso is probably Samuel Boring. Not a real dramatic name, but he was a pretty good lawman. He came from California. He was not a former Texas Ranger. He wasn't a heavy drinker. He was not a gunfighter. But he had been a sheriff and a legislator in California, a Mexican War veteran. And he came in and sort of reorganized the police force. And for a couple of years there, you know, things went pretty smoothly. And so he was not kind of one of these, you know, saber-rattling, gunfighter, volatile types like Studenmeier had been. He was just sort of a good, you know, chief peace officer to have in charge of the police department.
We're visiting with award-winning author, producer, historian Samuel K. Dolan. The name of his book is Life and Death in the Old West's Most Dangerous Town, El Paso. We open up, well, actually not we. When I open up the book, or readers open up the book, you start off with a quote there by Juan Franco, El Paso was a bad man's town when I went to work. Fill us in on Mr. Franco.
Well, Mr. Franco is one of my favorite characters among the sort of cast of El Paso lawmen. I covered him quite a bit, actually, in my first book, Cowboys and Gangsters, during his later career in the 1920s. And he is a Mexican-American lawman, and there are quite a few in El Paso. They don't get a lot of attention in Hollywood movies, but you had a pretty diverse police force there. And Franco came from Arizona Territory, where he had grown up. He had sort of wandered the deserts there as a sort of itinerant prospector as a young man. Went to El Paso in the 1880s during this terrific boom that, you know, transformed the city after the railroads. There was a lot of promise, and, you know, it was a good place to get a job. And, well, Juan Franco got a job as a member of the police force. And then for basically the next half century, he rotated through the different departments as a deputy constable, as a deputy sheriff, as a patrolman with the police department, later as a city detective. And years later, he said, yeah, El Paso was a bad man's town when I went to work. And he wasn't wrong. For all the development, for all the culture, and for all of the industry that came to El Paso with the Southern Pacific, the Santa Fe, and the other railroads, El Paso attracted also a rather unsavory element, a boisterous, well-known red light district. There was a lot of gambling. There were many saloons. Naturally, as Owen White, historian of early El Paso, said, anytime anyone had any money in their pockets in Arizona, New Mexico, or West Texas, they went to El Paso to spend it. And so there was almost a Las Vegas kind of atmosphere or draw to El Paso. And that brought good people, but it also brought dangerous people. And that brought people like John Wesley Hardin. It brought people like John Selman and a lot of other lesser known gunfighters and fugitives who, you know, made their way to El Paso. And so, yeah, Franco was right. It was a bad man's town. And he witnessed about a half century of crime and, you know, law enforcement history himself, and had quite a very interesting career.
We're visiting with Samuel Dolan. He is the author of the book El Paso. And we're talking a little bit about the Old West in El Paso and what kind of town city El Paso was back in the 1880s. Now, you talked a little bit about what people did. They came to El Paso because it was, in a way, the Las Vegas of the Old West. They came to gamble. They came to drink. They came to visit the soiled doves, as they were called, the prostitutes. And one of those madams featured in your book is Miss Abbott, Alice Abbott.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a famous fight there, not between gunfighters, but between also Alice Abbott and Etta Clark.
Yes, I actually feature a couple of gunfights between female belligerents.
That's
or
right.
Gunfighters, if you will, in the book. And the most famous, of course, is the showdown between Alice Abbott and Etta Clark. And that happens in the red light district there on Utah Street in El Paso in 1886. Alice Abbott was a very well-known woman in town, a character. She had come to El Paso, established an early brothel there with the coming of the railroads. And she developed sort of a rivalry with Etta Clark, who was sort of this fiery redhead, had a rival brothel just down the street. Well, one of Alice's girls, Bessie Colvin, decided to seek employment elsewhere and went to Etta's. And, of course, that didn't sit well with Alice, who was a very large and tall woman, sort of heavy set, just a real character. And so she charged down to Etta Clark's brothel, barged her way in, looking for Bessie. She attacked Etta. Etta, of course, a very small woman. She had plenty of fight in her. She went and retrieved a .44 caliber pistol and shot Alice in a very sensitive part of her body. The bullet went through her pelvis and through what they call the pubic arch. And, of course, the gunfight or the incident is often referred to as the public arch incident because as Alice is recovering from this injury, you know, she's a madam, she's associated with prostitution. The men sort of snicker in town and go, "Hey, Alice, how is your public arch faring?" And of course, that didn't sit well with Alice, who was still stinging from this incident. And a couple of years later, she allegedly had a couple of men burn down Etta Clark's brothel. So that was a well-known incident that occurred in the red light district and involved two women. I'd like to think that throughout the book, I cover incidents that, yeah, there's plenty of professional gunfighters and lawmen in the book, but I also have shootouts between, you know, domestic situations, of course, that are very volatile and other types of people that they don't usually make movies about.
We're visiting with Samuel Dolan. Samuel is the author of the book Hell Paso, and we've been talking about gunfights. We've been talking about the marshals, some of the people involved in the Salt Wars. But I want to kind of break it down each chapter, because if people want to open up the book and just read like different chapters, one chapter at a time, I encourage you to read the whole book. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of these chapters. Number one, chapter one and two, six shooter rule and look out for a killing. I think we kind of covered those in a way, but let's talk a little bit about Uncle John Selman, because we've mentioned him, but we haven't really gone into detail about him.
Yes, you know, John Selman is a very interesting character in the story of, you know, law and order in El Paso. He has a rather unsavory reputation even now among people who are interested in the Old West. And he's mostly remembered as, you know, for having killed another person, basically. Selman, of course, was a Confederate veteran. He had been a fugitive from justice. He arrived in El Paso in the 1880s. He had been involved in some pretty terrible incidents in New Mexico during the Lincoln County War. So he really was an outlaw. But he arrived in El Paso in the late 1880s, worked a number of jobs, and then eased his way into a law enforcement career. He had a brief tenure as a mounted customs inspector for the Treasury Department, and then ultimately got elected as the constable of Precinct 1 in El Paso. So the people at the time thought well enough of him to elect him to office. And as constable, he was one of the lawmen there in the city of El Paso. And, you know, for several years there, he had a pretty good reputation. He was fairly well-liked. People that must have known about some of the more nefarious things he'd been involved in apparently were willing to overlook those and sort of accepted him as a member of the community. There were still some aspects of his character, connections to the underworld, that are a little questionable. But what he's best remembered for are a series of gunfights he was involved in and shootings. He, of course, was in a gunfight in a brothel there in 1894, and he shot and killed a deputy U.S. Marshal, Baz Outlaw. And then the incident that he's best remembered for, of course, is the slaying of John Wesley Hardin at the Acme Saloon in El Paso in August of 1895. That incident, during which he shot Hardin through the back of the head, you know, it's made Selman sort of a Jack McCall sort of character, Jack McCall being the man that gunned down Wild Bill Hickok. So John Selman is really no one's favorite gunfighter or lawman, but he had a very interesting career in El Paso and elsewhere, and I try to break that down some, including his overlooked sort of brief tenure as a customs inspector.
We're visiting with Samuel Dolan. Samuel's book, the latest one, is called El Paso, Life and Death in the Old West's Most Dangerous Town. This time is just flying by, so before we wrap it up, we have a few minutes still. But let me ask you about, when did you first decide to start working on this book, and how long did it take you? Because, I mean, there's meticulous research in this book.
Well, thank you. It was several years, actually. It was about, probably 7 or 8 years ago, closer to 10 years ago. You know, I was working in Los Angeles. I had been involved in documentary production for quite a long time, both as a writer and director. And there were stories that, you know, they just didn't fit the mold for TV shows. And yet I really wanted to do the research and write about those things. And that led me to write my first book, Cowboys and Gangsters, which involved a lot of El Paso stories. And the ongoing research there just immediately rolled right into the research that involved El Paso. Some of the same characters actually appear in both books. And so this has been kind of an ongoing process for really several years. And I'm actually currently working on a third book called The Line Riders. And that's going to be about the Border Patrol and the Customs Service during the Prohibition era. With a lot of stories there in El Paso. So I'll end up with almost a trilogy, so to speak, that involves El Paso stories. But yeah, I believe that, you know, El Paso is one of the really great cities in the American West and in our country. And there's a lot of very interesting history that's occurred there. And I enjoy, you know, researching it as a Southwesterner myself coming from Arizona. Obviously, that's a different state, but it's important to see El Paso as being at sort of the center of this sort of southwestern region. Very important city, and it just has such a long and colorful history.
Sam, you just mentioned your first nonfiction book, and that's a book that I just finished listening to on audio and ordered the print copy as well, and that's Cowboys and Gangsters.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to sort of showcase some of the stories about the Old West that people don't think about. You know, as Americans, we look at our history as like almost like a greatest hits album. And you know, one thing happens after another. You know, there's the Civil War, there's the Old West, then World War I, and then World War II, and then Elvis. You know, like, it's these series of greatest hits. And what I wanted to do was kind of dig into some of the stuff that falls by the wayside, sort of deeper tracks, you know, the bonus tracks. And the actual most deadly period as far as law enforcement is concerned in the history of our country, and particularly in the Old West or the American West, is the Prohibition era, which, as far as Arizona is concerned, begins in about 1915, 1918 for Texas with the Dean Law, and then, of course, national prohibition, you know, 1919, 1920. Well, you have an almost 20-year period of time there where there was rampant lawlessness throughout the Southwest. And so that book, Cowboys and Gangsters, I hope, sheds light on some of these incidents that occurred on the border during a really tumultuous period in our history.
Well, thank you, Sam, very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Samuel K. Dolan. Samuel is the author of the book Life and Death in the Old West's Most Dangerous Town, El Paso. And as you just mentioned, the other book is called Cowboys and Gangsters. Sam, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
The book club is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Sam Cassiano. You've been tuned to the book club. I'm Louis Sines.